Jolene, can I trouble you to come forward so we don't have to project too hard? And if they're latecomers, I think there are some other people coming in. For example, Royston, someone told me Ken, I think he's going to be a bit late. Just allow him to come in. But collect the $500 fine first before he comes in. Kidding. Guys, you're in for a treat today. Our dear brother, Cho Peng Sam, is a wonderful man of God. I was just having I went to buy food that day at this place somewhere in the East, won't give you the coffee shop. Went to a coffee shop, they're selling nasi lemak. Bought the chicken wing. After I bought the chicken wing, went to buy the, what's that thing? The potato thing? Burgerdale. So he says, why don't you get a burgerdale? So he went to buy a burgerdale. And then he says, oh, we got a burgerdale. How about getting some sambal? Went to the nasi lemak store and then we asked, can I have some of the sambal? The fellow looked at me and knowing that I only bought the chicken wing and burgerdale, says, but the sambal is only for the nasi lemak. Okay. A few months back, I was eating at Old Bedok Road. Again, don't tell you which one, but one of my favorite bar chow mee. Eat down there. I was alone. Karen was at home. Eat. Sitting just beside here, wanted to go and get some soup. Left the bowl down there. And then when I walked just 3 meters to the store to just get some soup, a bird came. This bird came and landed on my noodles. And that noodles, Winnie, I only took 2 spoons. I'll have you know that I was very tempted to just keep eating. But I thought better not, because the bird's legs went into my fishball. But I was thinking, wow, very sayang. So I looked at the person and I told the waiter, so how? The fellow looked at me, they were thinking, wow, this time I don't make a chance. And they said, can't, never mind. And the fresh piping bowl just came. I hope to be we, the church, that will go our way to be a blessing to people. Don't make life difficult. I was thinking, buy, ask for a bit of sambal, don't give. Still, but the chicken wing goes to the sambal, right? The first said, but the sambal's for the chicken wing. But on the other side, they didn't even see the bird. I just said, this noodle's a bit dirty. They didn't ask anything, they just give. I'm sure if I go to Cho Peng Sam's hotel, if there's any food like that, I don't even have to mention it. I know Cho Peng Sam. Straight away, they will change. It's the culture that makes a difference. I was very impressed. Do you read, was it a couple of days back, NUH, there was this little incident, the patient, and the CEO just apologized. I was so impressed. And I've been reading him. I found out he's 1 year my senior in whatever college. And I also read about him and I see him quoting Bible verses. If we get this right in the marketplace, a lot of people will come to the saving knowledge of Christ. In Peng Sam, I find a man, although we are really not same age, he's a grandfather of Silas, the day will come. Grandfather, the child, he is only a weekend warrior. Weekend warrior is supposed to play football. He's weekend warrior for looking after grandchild. Tremendous blessing. He comes every time. And guys, the three of us, the three old men, Silas, Gunn and I, want to go UK for a conference in July. In this conference, I feel it's important for us to go because we go there, we understand the life issues. Life issues in society, and we want to hear from the top brains in London. These people, they speak one sentence, Mac and Ryan, I have to listen properly. The one sentence got maybe 3 interlinking meanings in there. So I want to sit myself under this hero for 3 days. And we learn as much as we can and we come back. And Owen, we're not flying first class. We want to come back with what the Lord is teaching us. Isn't that what the church is about? And these are all relevant. One subject that we don't learn about is power and the abuse of power. Identity, culture, wokeism, cancel culture, the body, the mind, and the soul, gender, racism, critical race theory. May we come back all sounding, at the very least, Gunn, we should come back sounding more intelligent than what we do now. Peng Sam asked me, he always asked me the same question. Always, no. He will ask, are we having worship before it comes? I said, and my usual answer is no, politely, of course. Worship is after. But today he came in early. My goodness, he was so early. Philip, what time did he come? Pressure me, man. So early he came. 4:15. He listened to us doing the rehearsal and he said, can we sing this song? Mm. If he say need to sing this song, who am I to say no, right? He come every time, he doesn't tell me to insist on worship at this time. I think the song flow through me, leads means a lot to him. So I want to invite you to, and later we'll sing again. This is like a rehearsal before the listening. But when we sing, can we invite God to come? And some of you are coming to church for the first time. I'm surprised to see you here pleasantly. Ryan, good to see you. Tottenham Hotspur supporter, very rare. Stoke City, even more rare. But as we come, Newcastle, don't look around. But as we come, let's worship God. And as we worship God, prepare your heart for the word. Whatever the God has put into the heart of our brother here, it will bring life into the people that hear. So can we just come before the Lord, prepare your heart for service, and then I'll just tell Esther to just lead us to worship. And when you're ready, I want you to just stand. If you're new, it's okay, just stand. If you're just comfortable, sing with us as we sing this song, Flow Through Me. Ask the Holy Spirit to just come. Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for this service. And for those who are on YouTube Live, I pray for my brother Wing in Bangkok. Thank you for preserving his life. And for all those who are not well, in Jesus' name, flow through us, Holy Spirit, so that in our life, something stirs and we are renewed in the Spirit. Father, as we worship today, I'm sure that's also the prayer of Ping Sam. We will worship in spirit and in truth. So Holy Spirit, come. May our worship be acceptable sacrifice to you. So as you begin to hear this, I want you to just stand when you're ready and let's worship God together. Flow through me.
Flow through me.
Flow through me.
Flow through me. So that I can worship you
in true reality,
in true reality, flow through me, flow through me, Jesus, so that I can come.
To the Lord, oh Lord my God.
Oh Lord my God, my soul does after thee, and my flesh longs to drink your living waters.
Oh Lord my God. Sing, flow through me.
Flow through me. Flow through me, Jesus, so that I can worship you in true reality.
We welcome you as your people stand before you, as your hands are raised before you. Holy Spirit, we give you preeminence. We pray for our brother Ping Sam, that Lord, the word that goes forth from this pulpit is the word of God. It's a word that will bring life, that will encourage many, so that those who are sick will be healed physically and spiritually. So Lord, we welcome our brother and we welcome the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, bless you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just put our hands together and welcome Ping Sam? Thank you.
So good to come again to this wonderful place of worship. Today, if you don't mind, we do a bit of Bible study. Is it okay? There'll be a lot of verses, so don't worry, I'll leave the slides with you. You can just, I guess, I don't know how, pick it up later on, but so don't worry about the number of slides, you know. They're all the Word of God. But today's sharing is about Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. And also I'm going to preach on the last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament. And after this book was written, there was 400 years of silence. The God was not heard until Jesus came as a baby, until John the Baptist came to usher in the Lord Jesus Christ. So 400 years before that, this book was written. A little background of the book of Malachi, just as a form of study. By the time the book of Malachi, who is the prophet, was written, Israel had returned from exile from Babylon. Remember the 70 years that they were sent in exile? So they had returned, and they already had built the temple of God. And the temple was there. The worship was going on. The ceremonies were going on. There was only one problem. Somehow, although the people were worshiping God, their hearts grew cold. And that's the message that God wants us to be aware of. The temple was built. The worship was going on. The sacrifices were done. The tithing was done. They were doing what they were supposed to do as they went into the temple. Only one problem, their hearts grew cold. And that's why this worship song, it was a heart issue. It says, "Oh Lord, my God, my heart longs after you." And it is the longing of God to have his people draw close to him. And that's why I titled this, "Return to Me, and I Will Return to You." And I share with you where this comes from. But during that time in Malachi, the people actually did everything that a worshiper would do. They were bringing sacrifices, they were bringing animals, the whole thing they were doing. Of course, because the relationship was so cold, it wasn't from the heart. And so they were giving sacrifices of their, you won't believe it, blind animals that was lame. They didn't give the best, so they gave whatever was secondary, diseased animals, thinking that, okay, I mean, I'm offering sacrifice. Until the fact that Lord says, "Can someone close the door? I don't need any more of this sacrifice." And it also showed that they didn't have the fear of God. And the fear of God is not one of frightened about God. They didn't have a sense of awe. They didn't have a sense of reverence. You know, the fear of God is when nobody's looking. When nobody is looking, do we fear God? Many times where I do travel overseas quite a bit. And when I travel overseas, I'm alone. Nobody knows what I do. The first thing I do is I put a towel over the TV and I pray over my laptop. And it says, "Lord, I just want to have you and you alone." And it is a fear of God, not because people are around me, it's just me and God. But there, if we know He is a living God, then we have a reverence, we have a fear of Him. So the people were giving, they were doing. They were coming to temple, they were doing. But it's not from the heart, and they didn't fear God. You know, Isaiah 29 verse 13 says, These people draw near to me with their lips, and they honor me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. Is it possible we come to church, we worship Him, but then our hearts might be far away from Him? And the Lord actually is conscious of that. Even later on when you see the tithing, they were tithing, you know, they were giving. They were following the law of Moses. But then the Bible says, bring the full tithes to me so I will bless you. So what they do, they kept a little bit for themselves. So it's not so much a jurisdiction that you... It's just that when they gave, there was no fear, there was no relationship, it was just doing. So these people come and draw near with their lips, they honor me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. And tonight, I just pray that God's message will touch our hearts, me including, that we will truly long to worship Him. We will truly long to have a deep, deep relationship with Him. And guess what? Our Father longs for that. It's not just us. Our Father longs to have His children walk with Him. And so, Malachi 4 sort of summarizes everything and takes on into a slightly different angle. All right? The first verse is a very funny verse. It says, guys, at the end of the day is coming burning like an oven. He was telling them that at the end of our lives, there will be judgment day. In fact, there's two types of judgment. There's a judgment that brings death, which is called the Great White Throne. And there's a judgment, which is the Bema Seat of Christ, that brings life. That's for Christians. And funny enough, Malachi 4 touched on these two. But the first one is a judgment that brings death. And he says, behold, the day is coming. He keeps repeating this. You know what later on he says? Burning like an oven, when all the arrogant, all the evildoers will be stubble. You will burn. Everyone will burn. The day that is coming, he repeats again, shall set them ablaze. Everyone will be set on fire so that they will leave them. It will be burned right up to the root, right up to the branch. No more. It's a frightening thing. I was just having lunch with Pastor Young of Cornerstone Church, and he was telling me that he keeps telling his church members, you know, many of you are very rich, buy house after house, car after car. He said, but just realize that at the end of the day, you cannot take any of this to where you are. Just remember that. At the end of the day, whatever we possess would not go with us. That's the end of the days. And in fact, he was telling me he was having dinner with Richard Magnus 2 days before he had a heart attack. Life is so transient, you never know. You know? So he keeps telling them, have eternity in mind. And I think Malachi 4 brings us to that. He says, at the end, guys, you might be doing all this, giving, sacrificing, giving tithes, but it's not from your heart. Just know at the end, all this, there's going to be a judgment coming. But I believe that when he mentioned this, when God mentioned this, it's not a, aha, I'm going to punish you. It wasn't that. Why? Why do I say that? Because you read in Malachi 1, the first thing he said, chapter 1, I have loved you. His heart is to warn his people. There will come a time of judgment, but I love you. I don't want you to be dragged into this. I want you to know this, to avoid this. All right. And God's heart, the book of Malachi, points back to verse 2, the very start of this book, I have loved you. And this is God's heart. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 3, you know, many people say, I talk about second coming, but he's not here. And he says, hey, God is not slow. One day to the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as one day. In the twinkling of an eye will be the last days. But, he said in verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That's God's heart. He's not a God that says, I'm going to go after you. All right, now you do this, you will die one day and then you go to hell. His whole thought is, I love you and I want you to repent. I want you to come back to me. And I tell you, I have this in mind because, you know, my parents were not Christians. My brothers and sisters also have strayed away from the Lord. And I know, all right, I know that if I can only bring them to know the Lord, then we will meet in heaven. And there's so many of our loved ones. I ask you, don't forget them. Pray for them. Because there will come a time at the end days where you say, it's too late. So like God says, I love you. I don't want any of you to perish. I want all you come to repentance. It is, think about our loved ones. Think about our loved ones. Because at the end of the day, in this great white throne, then I saw a great white throne and him who seated on it. This is Revelation chapter 20. From his presence, earth and sky fled away and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great, small, standing before the throne and books were open. All who did not believe in God, finally there will be a great white throne. And he says in verse 15, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And a few years ago, before COVID, I shared with my parents. I said, Mom, Dad, I shared with them Malachi 4:1, that there will be a burning. I shared with them Revelation 20, that those who are not written in the book of life will be thrown into a lake of fire. I said, I'm not trying to frighten you, but I want us to be together in heaven. And my dad is a free thinker. Sometimes free thinker are very hard because they're a self-made man, a free thinker. He has been a very self-made man. You know, 92 years old, he's still driving around. You know, my mom would just follow what my dad believes. But I prayed and I prayed, and a few months later, he called up my brother and says, tell God I'm ready to accept the Lord. And I tell you, I teared because I know that at the last days, I will see them in heaven, right? And by then, after prayer, my brother and my sister had already come back to the Lord. And my dad is in a white standing because he's got hip replacement. My mom is kneeling down. And all my cousins were with me, and we prayed for them to be baptized. And my prayer at the end of the day is, you have loved ones who are not believers. Don't give up praying for them. Keep on praying. One day, they will come to know the Lord, and you will see them in heaven. And then Malachi goes on to say, there's another judgment. This judgment are for the saved. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. The Son of Righteousness is Jesus Christ. You know that in the Old Testament, there's so many references to Jesus Christ. And Malachi mentions of the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, Son, not S-O-N. Oh, I can remove my mask. Oh, thank you. I was having difficulty breathing. thank you. I can, huh? Okay, good. Can you hear me? Okay. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. So this group is for those who fear his name. And again, fear is not one of, oh, God is coming. This fear is a fear of reverence and awe. It's built from a relationship with God. It's built when nobody is watching, you are with the Lord, right? And then believing in Jesus, right? Just as Revelation 22, Jesus says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things. For the churches, I am the root, the descendant of David, the bright morning star. He is the Son of Righteousness. And whoever believes in him, it's as simple as that. 1 John 1:12. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And I think that is so wonderful, isn't it? This second judgment is for those who believe in him, who received him. And we become the children of God. And he becomes our Father, all right? And this is for those who believe in him. That one day I'll share about the judgment seat of God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And this is not for salvation, because we're already saved, right? But it's for rewards. This Bema seat of God is like the, you know, the Olympics when you go up for the awards. And so we'll talk about it later, but this is a second judgment, not the lake of fire judgment, not the white, great white throne, but the judgment seat of Christ. And I pray that all of us will be those who fear him and those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who fear him, it's not, as I mentioned, a terrified fear. Let me share with you Malachi 3. It gives a description of this fear. Then those who feared the Lord, they're not many, but those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. It's as though they were having fellowship. All right? The Lord paid attention. It's so sweet, isn't it? When we meet together, when we fear him, you know, the Lord pays attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. You know? When you meet together in small groups and cell groups, and as you pray together, as you fear him together, you know what? The Lord pays attention. He is happy. You know, the word says that. He is joyous. And a book is written because of those who fear the Lord and esteem his name. And guess what? He says, they shall be mine. This is the heart of God. The heart of God says, you know, for those of his children who fear him, he says, they are mine. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. It's a father-son relationship. And this relationship is so wonderful, just like the song, you know. Our heart longs to be with him. Oh, Lord, my God. And this is another reference. I'm trying to bring you back to some of the reference in Malachi, you know. The priests were sacrificing animals that were lame, diseased, and all that, and God reminded them, remember the covenant of Levi. When he first had his covenant with Levi, the first priest, he said, my covenant with Levi was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear. In NIV, I think you will read, it's a covenant of reverence. So it's a relationship of esteeming God, awe of God, reverence of God, fear of him. And he feared me. He revered me. He stood in awe of my name. That's the life of Levi. True instruction was in his mouth and no wrong was found in him. He walked with me in peace and uprightness. He walked with me. It's like Adam and Eve walked with the Lord in the garden. The Lord wants to walk with his children and with those who fear him. And I cannot overemphasize this. The Lord wants us to have a deep, deep relationship with Him. It's not following rules and regulations. Oh yeah, I've been offering sacrifices. The Lord says, please shut the door, no more. I don't need that. You know? It's not about doing. It's about relationship. Not that good works are wrong. Please don't get me wrong. But it starts from a relationship with God. And every morning, as we decide to start our walk with God, every morning, we have a choice. We wake up, we get up early, and then we spend time with God. And then we commune with Him. We talk to Him. And I have as I shared before, you know, I'm a very visual person. So I tend to write letters to God. And as I write, sometimes I also complain to Him, you know. But I feel that I can be very personal to God. And when I write to Him, I also listen to Him. And sometimes He says, Ping Sam, and then He starts telling me things. Is it possible? Can you hear God? Can. Try it. You can hear God because He wants to talk to us. But, you know, we are so busy, but it's up to us. If we really want to have a relationship with Him, we can. Right? And He wants us to walk with Him every day of our lives. We have a choice. Right? And there'll be in days when if you are so busy and you don't have that time, I realize the time passed so fast and then you realize, where is God today? You know, but when you are so aware of Him, when you start the day with Him, you're so aware of Him, by the time you sleep, I tell you, you can write 10 to 20 praises of God. How His hand, you know, there was once I had, my staff came by and says, we got a legal letter from our partners in China, you know, and we had three major projects with Him. We're very good partners, but all of a sudden, during COVID, we receive a legal letter that says we want to terminate this relationship. Out of the blues. Of course, we can't fly there because, you know, you go there in China, 21 days quarantine. It's really, really tough. And so I told my guys, this is on Friday, I said, Monday, arrange a meeting with Yu Zhong. And, well, thankfully, he agreed to meet. And, you know, from Friday, I was praying to the Lord, you know, be with me. I really don't know what happened, but, you know, please be present in this meeting. I ask that you help me. And so we had that meeting on Monday afternoon. And Yu Zhong was there on the, they used Tencent, and with a team of lawyers. And we were just, you know, with my COO and my CFO and, you know, so we let him talk, and he was talking, and suddenly, he just kept quiet, and he told his lawyers to leave the room. And he said, I think I don't need this lawsuit. I think we can talk it out. I think it's just that I've been very frustrated, and I see you here. I'm changing my mind. Let's just talk it out. And up to today, we have mended that relationship. But as I went back and I thank God for that, I realized the hand of God is in even work. Okay, God is not only interested in church, God is interested in every part of our lives. Only if we allow Him to, let Him be part and parcel of our everyday life. There's no difference. Our life, you know, do you believe me when I say church starts on Monday? Okay, that's where people see us. And they see a difference in our lives, you know. And so church starts on Monday. And if we allow God to work mightily in our lives, I tell you, at night before you sleep, I tell you, you can write 10 to 20 Thanksgiving. Because nothing's by coincidence. Some can say, oh, yeah, Yu Zhong changes my coincidence. I never believe it's a coincidence. God's hand is in everything that we do, if we allow Him. Right? So He wants us to walk with Him. So very quickly, all of a sudden, he talks about these two judgments. It's as though, guys, at the end of the day, there is this eternity, there's this judgment. And then all of a sudden, he switches to Moses and Elijah. Huh? It's like, this Malachi seems a bit out of whack. Talk about judgment day, then suddenly talk about Moses and Elijah. Okay, but then I realize why. Because when he asks us to go back to the Word of God, remember the law of my servant Moses. Of course, at that time, there's no New Testament, so the Word of God was the Old Testament. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. I believe that the next 400 years, without the voice of God, God wanted his people to remember his word. And I really, truly believe that to learn how to fear God, you must go back to the Word of God. You know, each day of our lives, when we go to the Word of God, we start to know that He is real, He's alive, and then we start to fear Him because we know He's real, He's alive. He's not make-believe. He's not, and they live happily ever after. It's not a fairy tale. The Lord is real, He's alive, He's here right now with us. And each time we go back to the Word of God, we get so convinced that He is with us, that He is real. And so, when the Word of God was given by Moses, all right, at Horeb, when the Word was given, the Lord told Moses, okay, I'll just read verse 10, how on the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, remember this is where at Mount Sinai, God had given the law to Moses. The Lord said to me, Moses, gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words. God wants his people to hear his words. Why? So that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth. God was so sure that if his people hear his words, they will learn to fear God. It's true. When you go to the Word of God every day and you see how the Word of God is real and alive, is living, you will fear God. Because you know He's real, He's alive, He's not make-believe, He's not manufactured. He is real. And we learn to fear, and our awe and reverence of God is so deep, it really will change our lives. And of course, I truly believe that the whole of even the Old Testament talks about Jesus Christ. Remember the road to Emmaus walk? The two men were down. They were very depressed. And then a man came, Jesus, and he said, you look very down. You must be a stranger. Don't you know the Savior who came? He was crucified. And Jesus says, oh, let me open the Word of God to you. And beginning from Moses and all the prophets, that's the Old Testament, Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You know, Jesus Christ is found in the Old Testament as well, right? I'm not overemphasizing the Old Testament. Now we have the wonderful, 66 books. And so, but during the time of Malachi, it was what it was, the Word of God through Moses, right? And then, so I believe he introduced the Word of God to help us to fear him. That's what's missing in the people of Malachi's days. But number two, he then now introduced Elijah. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord. NIV, this is ESV. NIV says the great and dreadful day of the Lord. It's maybe not as nice, huh? At the end of the day, it can be the great and dreadful day of the Lord if we are not in his family. But he sent Elijah. You know, true enough, it's almost like a guarantee. Because why? 400 years later, you read in Luke 1, the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah the priest and says, your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and he will be a messenger to prepare the way for the people. And that is, what's his name? John the Baptist. And so when John the Baptist came 400 years right after Malachi, it was a guarantee that Jesus would come. Now, Christ will come again, second coming. And this second coming will be the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Elijah will come again. And I believe that these are the days of Elijah. I really believe that these are the days of Elijah. And what are the days of Elijah? He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction, the great and dreadful day of the Lord. But, you know, actually it's very funny. If the Lord is going to come and utter destruction and great and dreadful day of the Lord, you would have imagined he would say, you better buck up. You better do many things for me. You better give to the poor. Okay, nothing wrong with that. But it's just, he didn't say that. You better do more. You better go out on the streets and just do more and pray, preach the gospel. It's like, you know, the Santa Claus, the song, you better be good, you better watch out, but something like that. Santa Claus is coming. So, but instead of watching out, do good, Elijah will come to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. It's about relationship. Lord wants relationship. And I'm part of the focus in the family. Just now we were talking, all right? And, you know, even this LGBT issues, I was talking to Jason Wong. He was telling me, do you know that many of these LGBT issues spring up from the missing father? When the father figure is missing or there's some abuse, many of these incidents will come. When there is this missing relationship with the father. And I believe it's also very, very difficult for fathers who don't know Jesus Christ to really, and don't know the Lord God Almighty, to be a real father to their children. I believe it starts with a relationship with the Lord. And then this relationship flows down to the children and the children to their fathers. And at the end of the day, the Lord wants relationship. So he wants the fear of the Lord, but he also wants this deep, deep relation with him. And Elijah will come. In the days of Elijah, he will start to turn many, many, many of us back into deep, deep relationship with the Lord. We will be so close to the Lord. We will know his voice. Do you know that? We will have a life that is abundant. Why? Because we hear his voice. We will walk with him. We will not fear. We will, in fact, walk with spirit and in power in the last days, right? And, of course, Malachi 3 also points to the first time when Christ comes, said, "Behold, I send my messenger. He will prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek, Jesus, will suddenly come to his temple." This is the first coming of the Lord. 400 years, it was fulfilled. And true enough, I just turned to another portion of the New Testament, Matthew 17. And the disciples asked him, then why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come? I think I got 10 minutes, right? Okay. Do you know that the whole Old Testament, the only place that is found that says Elijah will come before the Messiah is actually Malachi 4, 5, and 6. But all the scribes and all the Jews, they remember this verse. And they know that before Messiah comes, Elijah will come. That's why they ask this question. Would Elijah come? And Jesus answered, Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. He will restore relationships. But I tell you the truth, I tell you that Elijah has already come. They did not recognize him. Do you know that? These are the days of Elijah, and many do not recognize Elijah. Right? Because sometimes we are so crowded and clouded with so many things. We don't hear him anymore. Just like Jesus too, he says, so also the Son of Man. When the Son of Man came, nobody knew him, and they crucified him. Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them about John the Baptist. So John the Baptist came, and he ushered in the Lord Jesus Christ's first coming. Remember now, Malachi chapter 4 says, the second coming, he will come, and Elijah will come, and he will prepare his people. And I believe these are the days of Elijah. You will hear more and more and more preaching from preachers to his children to say, come close to God. This is much, much needed. You must have a deep relation with the Lord. And then guess what? After that, automatically it will overflow with works. Okay? But we don't do works just to, you know, 1 John 4:9, right? No, 1 John 4:19. Yeah, 1 John 4:19. We love, someone can check my, we love because he first loved us. You know, it is not we love so that he will love us. No. You know, other religions say that we must work hard so that God will love us. I'm not saying work hard is wrong. But you know, the Bible is very clear. We love because he first loved us. You know, that God in his great mercy sent his Son Jesus Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. We didn't work for it. We didn't deserve it. But Christ came. You know, it's okay. Thanks. And so Elijah will come and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord. That's his role. His role is to turn the children back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will go before him in the spirit of power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. My own reading is that the disobedient are the children and the wisdom of the just are the fathers. So he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to their fathers to make ready a people for the Lord, a people prepared. Who are these people prepared? These are people who have a deep, deep relation with the Lord from the heart, you know, from the heart. And I there is great joy. You know, he came that we might have life and have life abundantly. We will have great joy when we walk with the Lord. There will be trouble. There will be trouble. You know, I was a Boys Brigade member in ACS, and we always sing this song. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows, the storms roll. You know, fastened to the rock which cannot move. All right? And this is the anchor is in Jesus Christ, that even through the storm, when you have a deep relation, he will walk with us. Okay. So anyway. And so, why we also need this deep, deep relation, you know why? In the last days, there will come times of difficulty. All right? And this is in 2 Timothy. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. And I think this Ukraine war, this pandemic, is not going to be the last. There will be wars, there will be rumors of wars, there will be earthquakes, there will be storms, there will be... And in fact, children will turn against their fathers, right, and their fathers against their children. So, for people will be lovers of self. Anyway, that is found in Matthew chapter 24, so you can read it on your own in the last days. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant. Isn't it here now? disobedient to their parents. Okay, I know we got very good obedient children, but watch out. In the last days, even children will be disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then he ends off this, having the form of godliness, denying its power. And these are Christians. So we need that deep, deep relation with the Lord, because in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. And so I end off with just three more verses. Malachi 3 is almost like a summary of God's heart to his people. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside or turned away from my statutes and have not kept them. That's God's heart. He was really hurt. And then he says, return to me and I will return to you. That's God's heart. Simple as that. It's not rocket science. It's not some deep theology. All I'm sharing is God's heart. He wants his children to return to him, and he will return to us. You know, one of the best examples of returning to him, returning is almost like repentance, returning to him, or the best example of turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and turning the hearts of the children to the fathers is none other than the prodigal son. I know all of us know that, but let's go through it very quickly. But when he came to himself, this is a prodigal son. You know, repentance is not beating yourselves up and then, you know, I'm going to not sin against you, Lord, and you poke yourself, you whatever, trash yourself, and then you repent, you know, you sackcloth, all that. Actually, repentance is a turning around. The word is metanoia. It's just turning around. It's like when you're driving the wrong side of the road, make a U-turn. Just make a U-turn. Just come back to God. Because Satan will say, you are so lousy, you better do more good things before you come back to the Lord. But I tell you, it's as simple as make that U-turn. And this son, all his son, he came to himself and said, actually, my father's servant is better food than all these. Why don't I go back? And I think that's a simple explanation of repentance. We don't have to make ourselves, but of course the son rehearsed. He says, oh, I will go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Okay, that's fine. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So he wants to go back, but he said, I'm so dirty, I'm so unworthy. Just give me some food, treat me like your servant. All right? We all know this, right? Very familiar. But I really think we need to know the heart of God. And of course we know that when he rose and came to the Father, that's repentance. He made that U-turn. And he went to the Father, and I tell you, this is what will happen when we make that U-turn. The Father, but while he was still a long way, his Father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. You know, when Peter was like so proud, tell the Lord, how many times do I forgive? And you know, the Jews, normally the answer is three times. You forgive three times, after that, so Peter was very generous. He said, Lord, seven times? Well, he added more. Seven times you forgive? The Lord says, no. 70 times, seven times. And it's not 490 times only. It's whatever number, it's infinite. You forgive. And that's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. And I tell you, all he wants is that U-turn for us to come back. And he ran and embraced him And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against you. Remember, he rehearsed this. Heaven and before you, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And before he can even finish, I treat me as your hired servant. He didn't even could say that. The father put a, bring quickly the best robe, which is sonship, and put it on him, put a ring, which is sonship, on him, put shoes, and kill the fattened calf. I think this is the heart of God. Return to me, and I will return to you. And I just urge all of us, in the last days, many, many preachers who hear God will preach to their congregation, go deeper in love with God. That's the heart of God. It's worth it. I tell you, it's worth it. Even when the times are difficult in the last days, when we are walking close to the Lord, we fear no evil. He is our sun, our shade, and He is our power. He's our help. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. I tell you, we can go through life, even difficult life, with the power of God. And people will see. They will see that you are salt and you are light, and they'll say, something is different. And I tell you, the father never allowed the son to be called a servant. I just end with this. Actually, I had a Bible study group not too long ago, and we talked about the prodigal son. And one of my Bible study, one of the ladies said, actually, Peng Sam, I can relate more with the elder son, you know. Actually, unfair. The elder son worked so hard, huh? He slogged, you know, this young son going to spend all the money. Actually, the eldest son worked so hard, never spent a single cent. Why the father, you know? And actually, all the father said to the son was, eldest son, is this, son, you are with me. All I have is yours. You see, the eldest son was a servant. The eldest son worked as a servant, but he didn't see himself as a son. There was no relationship. And the father said, you're with me. All I have is yours. And so what the father is saying to us in this prodigal son is this, I don't want you to be a servant. I mean, not that works is no good. It's important, but it flows out from sonship. It flows out from a deep relationship with the Father. And I tell you, you will do mighty things for Him. Don't worry. Those who are close to the Lord, you don't have to worry that they don't serve the Lord. They will supernaturally do so many things for the Almighty God, not to gain salvation. You know, not to gain salvation, but it flows out from your heart because you are saved. So I just end with this. The Lord wants that father-son relationship. Church, the Lord, this is His heart. Return to me, and I will return to you. Shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Father, Lord, we just pray that you will lead us by the hand, encourage us to walk close to you. That is so worth it to have that father-son relationship. Lord, start that wonderful relationship in us that we might be true sons of God to those who believed Him, to those who received Him. He gave the right to become children of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I obviously didn't have a chance to look at Peng Sam's slides. I mean, who am I to look at his slides? He obviously also didn't know that we've been talking about the heart of God in the past few weeks. I think God is speaking. It's the heart of God that matters, isn't it? It's the heart-to-heart connection. Sometimes as a lawyer, you know, we use the word judgment. When you get a judgment, you can always appeal. So if Peng Sam's not happy with the judgment, you appeal. But if I use the word verdict, is different. Verdict means finished. And sometimes, maybe not to scare you, but if we all know that it's either you are with God or not with God, it is a verdict. It's not even a judgment. Roger, judgment means you're not happy with judgment, go and appeal to a higher court. But when it's a verdict, that's it. This is not to scare us, but as I hear Ping Sam, I'm reminded, it's a verdict. Are you with him or are you not? And I think it's a hard issue. Let's come and worship the Lord. And this is not to scare us, right? But the fear of God will give us the beginning of wisdom. Don't fear man. He didn't fear man when that whoever Zhong was not happy with him. He feared God. He just prayed and God did the rest. I'm always so encouraged when the marketplace people just operate not from intellect, because if he wanted to, he should get all the lawyers he need and then let's strategize and say this, say that. He did not. Just call for a meeting on Monday. Before he called for a meeting on Monday, I don't think he spoke to the lawyers. He only spoke to God. Well, like that, lawyers chum and no work. But that's what is needed, isn't it? We just bring God into the picture. It is so important that we get this right with God. We're going to sing this song again. First time we sing a song twice. But as we sing, just come to the Lord. Let him work through the life of all the people that are represented here. So that they will worship you.
So that I can worship you.
In true reality.
In true reality. Flow through me. Flow through me.
Sing from the top again. Will you just flow in Jesus' name? Flow through me.
Flow through me. You in true reality.
time say, flow through me, Lord Jesus. Flow through me. Bring the service to the end, the day will come when the verdict is finalized and we will see Him face to face. And I pray that we will see Him together when He comes again. So Father, we thank You. I pray not for judgment or verdict on the people of God represented here, but Lord, that when the second coming, they receive it with joy because they know that eternity awaits for them in heaven. So Father, thank You. Thank You for the all-consuming fire that the Sun of Righteousness is on our side. So I pray for You in Jesus' name that the fear of the Lord will be the beginning of Your wisdom. that you look to the future with a hope and a purpose, that you live your life from this day on because of the word that has gone forth from this day, that you live your life purpose-driven to do the work of the kingdom, knowing that when He comes again, you are on the right side of heaven. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you, so that when you go back to the marketplace, you go not with fear of men that will ensnare or trap you, but you go with the fear of God. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you. We pray all this through the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Can we just thank Bing Sam for a wonderful message? Thank you. And I'm sure he will come again. Anyway, he's got no choice. What a wonderful man. Thank you, guys. You are dismissed. We'll see you next week. We start next week with our series on To Not To. I'll just start next week. Just bring someone. It's going to be a wonderful, powerful month of April. Bless you. See you next week. Thank you.